Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Elizabeth Reese.
I'm Marjorie Punnett.
This is Best to the Nest, the podcast that is all about creating strong, comfortable, beautiful nests that prepare us to fly. And I'm back. I flew to the Bahamas, and then I flew home. I had a really great girls' trip last weekend. That's sort of one of those things that's so fancy and amazing and fun that when you're in it, you think, is this my life? Am I the one really in here? Because this feels really amazing.
Oh, that's so great.
I know.
Where exactly were you?
Okay, so I was in the Bahamas on an island called Abaco. I've never been to the Bahamas before. Fun fact for you, the Bahamas is comprised of like 800 islands, is what some of the girls said. So there's tons of islands. There's like the main islands, and then there are out islands. And I believe Abaco is considered an out island because there are very few things there. I mean, it's like 1,200 people who live there. And, you know, the Bahamas were completely annihilated by Hurricane Dorian years ago. And it was very difficult. We were talking about it, and it was like sustained winds of 150 miles an hour sitting on these islands for 2 days.
How
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
and so already, you know, the island life is so magical and romantic and fun, but it's also really difficult because it's very difficult to get things. You know, so many of these people on these islands rely on shipments of stuff coming in, which just makes life feel kind of precarious. And so then you add in a hurricane that destroys so much. But we were able to really see the beauty of the islands. And, you know, former Twin Cities Live reporter Emily Engberg, she left the show, gosh, I don't know, three, four years ago now. And she has been living with her partner between the Bahamas and Florida.
Oh, so she knows it well.
So she knows it very well. And they rebuilt the house that John had there for years. And there was a real decision of if they were going to rebuild or not. And then they have a beautiful boat that we were able to stay on. And it was just this once in a lifetime. Well, I hope it's not once in a lifetime because I hope Emily invites me back. But it was just magical and beautiful. And it was kind of fun because I went on a trip with girls that I don't know very well, which was different.
That's very different for you.
I go on girls trips usually with really good friends. Maybe sometimes there's one that I'm not as close with, but this was one of them I'd met, but just for like one evening. One I had never met before. And then one, Abby is my Twin Cities Live co-host's wife. So Abby and I got to spend all this time together, which was so much fun.
Did you know her very well beforehand?
Not that well. I mean, I've known her for a long time, but I know her so much like through Ben. It's always a funny thing, these co-hosts that I have, because I feel like I know so much about what's going on with Abby. Abby knows so much about what's going on with me because Ben tells us vice versa. And it's the same with my husband and my co-host. Like, Ben will know things about Jay because I tell him, and Jay knows things about Ben because I tell him. You know, it's a very funny relationship.
Well, I think it's a closer relationship that any sort of co-hosting relationship like that is closer than any other normal work relationship.
Yes.
Because it's so dependent on chemistry and feeling like you really know each other. So even though in these days of HR boundaries, he does become your work husband in that sense.
Although
it's weird to call it that, but
it's
that's
sort
what
of
we
like
always
a,
use,
yeah,
used to call
we
it that,
kind
or
of refer
brother.
It as like a brother. It really feels like
that's probably a better way to say it.
It feels so much like a sibling relationship.
Like family.
And I never had brothers. So for me, like all of these co-hosts that I've had are like my brothers. And they're honestly, I mean, they're like protective like brothers. They give me a hard time like brothers. It's definitely that sort of sibling relationship.
I think it's really special. That's like the one. Yeah. People talk a lot about the negatives of being in broadcasting. To me, that was one of the really special things about being in broadcasting is even if for people who are off the air, like I became very, very close. Hello, Polly, to my producer, because for 10 years, he was the only voice I had in my ear, you know, during in the commercial breaks and everything else. So he and I just adored him. And you get very close to those people that you are trying to develop chemistry with. And I think in other jobs, having a chemistry that's public isn't as necessary.
I liken it a little bit to like, if you're, I'm not an actor, but if you're like an actor, you know, and then you just have this bond with people and it's sort of, it's similar to that. And it is interesting because there are lots of jobs where your, you being a great teammate to somebody makes a big difference in the job.
Right.
This is like teammate to a whole nother level. Like the relationship, the success of the show is very much dependent on this one relationship, which
on
is
two people getting along.
Sit. You're right.
Yeah.
That's, I know.
Because it will fail if you don't.
This is why it's scary to pick a new one.
Yeah. Always. But that's not what we're talking about today.
No, but we're talking, you know, we just like to catch you up on life. It's very nice to be home. And it is kind of interesting because I was actually talking with a lot of the girls on this trip about what we're discussing today, which has been a theme throughout Best to the Nest, which is the idea of sort of decluttering and being intentional about your home. You know, recently I am so amazed by how just rearranging one space in your house can make your whole house feel new and can also sort of start this snowball effect of wanting to do more and wanting to move on to the next room. So, you know, recently we moved Heathcliff out of his nursery because he declared, I don't sleep in crib. I sleep with brother and sister. He's two. So we just got rid of everything. And what was funny about this in this room, so we have a very old house, as you know, and we have sunrooms, like stacked sunrooms off of the side.
So
the house is a colonial, so it's very traditional. You know, if you go past a colonial, you know what I'm talking about. And so we have one of the sunrooms on this main level is like a playroom, which is great because there's like a little separation between the living room. And then so you can kind of hide the Lego table and all the things. Right. And then on the second floor, the sunroom is off of our bedroom, which I just thought when we looked at this house, I was like, this is the most magical thing that it feels like a suite, which I've just never had in my life.
Right.
And there's beautiful French doors with old original glass going into this room and like original hardware on the door.
It's very gracious. It's a very gracious layout, which I love that too.
So I had all these dreams of turning this room into like a wonderful little like den, kind of just like my little spot. Because of course, if it's the primary bedroom, it's my bedroom, not Jay's. And it's my, you know, Jay was like, we can turn this into my office. And I was like, hell no.
No to that. 100%. Jay, no.
No.
You don't want your office touching your bedroom.
So when we accidentally learned that we were expecting Heathcliff as our third baby, we're like, well, we have to make this room a nursery because on that floor there are two other bedrooms.
Right.
One is Franklin's, one is Bernie's. So we don't have four bedrooms up. So, you know, and these are kids can share. My kids share, but as far as the baby needs the baby's own space so that the baby isn't waking up everybody.
Yeah, that's the last thing you need.
But now that we've transitioned out of that space, I just started like walking around my house and shopping it and finding things.
Great.
You know, just like a little end table here and there that you found.
Right.
And then I moved a rug I had layered rugs in there. So I moved one of them into our bedroom. I just shifted a couple of chairs in there and just opened up the space and moved the changing table. I got rid of the full changing table and just put the topper on top of a dresser in Frankie's room that the boys are sharing now. And I was just struck by, I spent no money. I have spent not a dollar on this transition at all. I've just simply been looking around and moving things. And it gives your home a whole fresh energy. Like this feng shui thing, they are onto something with
it. Oh, I believe it. I believe, you know, this is one of the things that I think your home really should be a reflection of who you are. Mm-hmm. Not very cliche. I know that. But that's why I've stopped reading magazines. I love architecture. I've renovated, I don't know, 6 homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically gutted kitchens, rebuilt porches, rebuilt additions. I think it's more than 6, actually.
It gives me heart palpitations. I've done 1 bathroom and 1 kitchen, and I want to do more. Number one, I don't have the bank account to do more in this current situation, but like I just...
Every 5 years. Almost every 5 years, I would buy a house to fix up and we would redo it. And until we moved to Minnesota, that's the longest we had been someplace. Mm-hmm. But every time we'd move to a new city, we'd buy a house that needed to be renovated and I would renovate it. It was
and
all
make
part
money
of
on it. Yeah.
On it, enterprises. I used to really like the design magazines and things like that. And then as I've gotten older, I realized I don't enjoy reading a lot of those because they don't sort of the higher end design magazines, because I don't think they really reflect the people who live there. They don't feel real to me. They feel they're beautiful, and they're in terms of the interior design, it's beautiful. But I much prefer when I see pictures of a home that feels like it's somebody's home, that's filled with beautifully done, nicely done family pictures, or mm-hmm. Things brought back from trips, or things that have been passed down and used in a new and interesting way. That's so much more interesting to me now than looking at. Like the latest picture I saw, I don't even remember where I saw it. I think it was on Instagram, and I just wanted to throw my phone. It was a show house that they had done, and they had taken. Okay, so there's been this trend in books where people are color coding books.
Yeah.
Already annoying. Then the trend moved to cover them all in white paper.
Yeah.
You don't know what the books are.
I know.
Again, annoying.
And it really like removes personality.
It removes the art of reading. What are we doing? A book is for reading. You don't know what the book is? Well, it's a book.
I do have 2 or 3 books currently holding my computer up to a higher level so that you can see me on this camera. Do you want to know the names of them?
As do I. No, but then the trend moved to Elizabeth. They turned the books backwards.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
And then the latest trend is they're painting them. They're painting the books.
I will say I don't like dust covers. I would like to get rid of all dust covers on books.
I'm not a fan either. I like
they drive me crazy. Yeah. It's like, but just anyway, have the book.
I digress. To your point of spending no money and making it you, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
And you know, my mom is an interior designer. And when we were growing up, I remember the words that she would say to me the most as a child. The most. Are you ready for this? The thing I remember her repeating so many times was, hey, can you just come help me move this one piece of furniture?
I love that.
She would say it all the time. Hey, just real quick, can you just come help me move this one? Can you just help me move this? Can you just help me move this rug? Which it was never just one thing.
Right.
It was always like 3 things. But when we were young, again, you know, back to the money, my parents didn't have a lot of money. And I remember my mom would make always a big statement with paint. And this was like in the 90s. So it was like accent walls were big and colors were big. And she'd be like, she would just bust out paint. And she would just be like, today I'm going to paint the entryway red. Tomorrow I'm going to paint this little cove eggplant purple. Keep in mind, this is the 90s. Okay. So this is
these
like
are appropriate
very hot back
I had
then.
I had an eggplant couch in the 90s.
100%. Totally get it. Like this totally is get how it. Things went. But it was, you know, she was always refreshing. She was always looking at the space. And, you know, granted, she wasn't even really an interior designer then. She didn't even go back to school to be a designer until she was 40. It was always that feeling of, if we just rearrange this, or let's try this couch here. Right. Let's try this chair here and see how that feels. And I guess I never really put 2 and 2 together of just, it's not only about the function of the room, but it's about the feeling of the room. And if you can just shift a few things in your home, how much that helps you feel like a new flow, a new energy. Right. And it's like, if you just feel like I need a little bit of a fresh start, just move a couple things around, even if it's like swapping out lamps and see how it feels. And it can cost you $0.
Well, I declared at the beginning of the summer, because I'm obviously in between semesters, and I didn't take a class this summer. I didn't want to, because there were a lot of other things I wanted to focus on. One of the things I wanted to finish up sort of with my mom's taking care of my mom having just moved here, starting school, winding up a job, all of those things, there were things about the house that had just sort of gotten away from us. And so including landscaping and rebuilding a porch. And so all of these projects and decluttering, actually sorting out the fact that we had merged because I had lived in Tempe for 5 years. We had two households running. We had a home in Tempe and we had a home here. So we had two households running. And I sold a lot of it in Arizona, but a lot of it still came here. And so my goal, and this is part of the problem when you lead a busy life, the accumulation just happens. Like, you don't realize that living a minimalist life in some ways, if you've just been a normal person, takes real intention and time to sort through all of your stuff. Where is it going to go? Like, one of the things that I have is like my mom's whole portfolio from when she was modeling in the 1930s and 1940s. What am I going to do with that? And so like, I have to digitize all of it. I'm going to do, but it's like projects like that. They're like real and they take time. But my goal, and I was talking about this on the podcast last week, my goal is to get rid of 50% of what we own.
Wow.
Oh yeah. When I left Arizona, I got rid of 50% of what we own. And now we're in a 1900 square foot house and I want to get rid of 50% more. I mean, I wish I had known all of you in Arizona, because the antiques that went out the door were family antiques that were going for like $200.
Yeah.
I mean, hand blown glass from the 1800s. It's like, I can't do it anymore. I can't move this around. It's moved to 12 cities. I can't do it anymore. So beautiful things. We got rid of 50%. So it's another 50%. And as I said last week, our goal is to be able to live in about 800 square feet. So I recommend it again. Time is honey. Danny, who's been on the broadcast, who lives in 750 square feet in Copenhagen. She is my idol. I am working. And right now, the biggest stumbling block are my clothes. Like, I can't get my head around, where do I put them?
I know.
I can't have five sweaters. Like, I can't. This has always been a thing for me. I've always had too many clothes. It makes me
five is pretty good. I mean, if you are a Minnesotan, I have 25 sweaters. Easy.
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't live with five. Danny said, when we talked to her, Danny said she has like six sweaters. And then when one comes in, another one goes out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have not that. I have more. Yes. So those are the things. Those are the things that I like. I'm not even dealing with the clothes yet. I'm just dealing with the stuff. But every week I sort of fill up the car and the stuff goes to the appropriate places of where it can be well used. Best Buy is getting all the old computers and TVs and everything else because they recycle them. Goodwill gets a lot of the clothes and the house goods. And I just love, I don't want to try and sell any of it. I just want to give it away and have it find its right place in the universe.
You know, this happened to me with the selling of it too. So I have a lot of clothes and a lot of it is work, and I do have a closet at work. So let's be clear. Like,
but
that's great.
TV every day you have to.
Right. So it's a little bit of a different deal. It's kind of like it's work supplies, but I was finding that I had clothes in my closet at work. I had a jacket in there that I wore coming back from maternity leave with Bernie.
Right.
And it was like a cute long jacket. It was like black with like this blushy pale pink. Every time I looked at that jacket, I remembered that sort of like nervous, unsettled feeling of coming back from maternity leave with Bernie. It wasn't sparking joy, Marie Kondo. Thanks for asking. But it was still sitting in the closet and it was sitting in there. And what was interesting is some of the things that I have, I also have a lot of my own clothes. So I have like station clothes and then I have my own clothes. And with my own clothes, I started putting them up on Poshmark because people were like, you can sell this stuff for like $10. I can't sell anything that I get through the station through.
Of course. Yeah.
That's a separate deal. So that's that stuff I give away or donate or whatever. But my own personal clothes, I can certainly sell. And then even just the feeling of, I had one thing sell on Poshmark and I went into this like panic of like, oh my gosh, now I have to get this shipped out and I have to do the label and all the thing. And then I was like, ends up being like $15 that I clear. And I know that Poshmark can be like really great for some people and they just love it. But I had this pile of clothes that I wanted to Poshmark and I would walk past it every day and feel guilt. And
it was one more thing.
I need to take all these pictures and all of these things. And I'm just like, this is not for me. I have to let these things go. And what's so interesting is that I have found, particularly over the last year, when I broke my ankle, was when I discovered the Buy Nothing group on Facebook. You know, I don't want to go all woo-woo like Oprah the Secret on this, but there is something to this sort of abundance mindset of not attaching monetary value to things and letting them go.
Right.
And then watching what happens when the things that you need start to show up. And this right. happened to me when I said, I started giving away all these baby things. And then I realized I really just need, I need a Bob stroller, like a jogging stroller. That's right. a single. Had a double. I don't need the double. I gave that away. I need the single. And so I started looking on Facebook Marketplace because they're super expensive new. I mean, they're like $800. I'm thinking, well, if I could buy one for a couple hundred, then I would use it just for Heathcliff for the next 2 years because I love to walk in the winter.
And then move it on.
And then I'll move it on. Well, I'd been giving away all these baby things while realizing that this was the one thing that I needed. And then I was walking out of the house one day, happened to chat with my neighbor, Becky. And I don't know what we were talking about. And I was like, oh, I'm looking on Facebook Marketplace because I got to get a single Bob just for Heathcliff, just for the next 2 years. She goes, no, you don't. She's like, I have one in the garage. Yeah. You can have it. I'll give it to you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And it's so interesting how the more that this has happened, I was just talking to Jay about this because he got a couple golf bags at a golf event and he thought about, should I hang on to them for our kids? And then he's like, they're too big. By the time our kids are big enough, he's like, I'm just going to pass them on. And we are really trying to incorporate this idea that if it isn't being used in our home, it should be used by someone else. And what we need, having that faith that what we need will come to us, it's really fascinating how it works.
Well, that's the key statement is I think when I was younger, you know, you're so unsure and you're starting your career and you think, at least I did, I won't generalize for anybody else. I was always afraid of lack. There won't be enough money. There won't be enough. We won't have enough. And I'm not going to get all woo either, but I actually 100% agree with you that that sense of lack brings such stress. And again, we are talking, in a way, this is a privileged conversation because within my life, even when Ian and I were super poor and we didn't have a lot of money when we just started out and we had a dish where we would throw our change. And when there was enough money in the dish, we would go to a movie. I mean, so there was, there wasn't a lot. And I became very good with coupons. But as our careers progressed and we got older and we saved and we did all those things, that feeling of lack sort of stayed with me.
Yes.
That idea that, because when we were living in New Jersey and we lived in a horrible little place with a very mean landlord. Mm. And that gets to you because you feel so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You feel so vulnerable in that because we would never ask our families for money. I mean, that wasn't ever going to be. And so that was just a horrible feeling. But I kept that feeling with me longer. And it, to your point, is when I started feeling like, no, I'm okay. Like I'm okay. I have enough. And you could start just giving stuff away as opposed to like trying to sell every little thing. And I still do sell things. I mean, like I said, in Arizona, but I didn't say like, oh, I feel like that secretary, which has been in our family for two generations, that should be worth X.
Right.
When I hired the woman to do the estate sale, I just said, let it go to good people.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go. And I'm not so worried about it. And I will confess, it was hard. I mean, there were parts of it that were really hard because you'd get the thing and it'd be like, oh my God, you know, this table I got like $50 for it. But at the same time, I felt like I hope that day, that person who walked through felt the joy that I have felt so many times in my life when I find something so cool and I can afford it and I get to take it home. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I kept telling myself is like somebody that day felt that good because they found something that was really special and really beautiful that if they had walked into an antique shop in Chicago, it would have cost them $3,000.
Yeah.
And instead they walk away with something lovely. And that's great to me that somebody, but that was a growth process for me. You're saying it's not always easy just to like, be like, oh, just take it until you realize that the more you do that, the more that comes back to you when you mm-hmm. need something. I believe that too, 100%.
Yeah. It's very clear that you don't need so much to be happy. There you certainly need things to make your life easier and to have those basic necessities covered, but it's so easy to slippery slope into like, I have so many things.
One of the things that just is so inspirational to me or motivates me is one of the conversations I had with my mom when she fell down. And I think I may have mentioned this podcast, but I cannot shake this feeling. Is she had come home from rehab. Now, she should have died. I mean, I'm not saying, how do I phrase that properly? The fall was so severe and she was already in her mid to late 80s.
Right.
She is of tough stock. It would have killed anybody else. She smashed her front of her face. She broke all of the bones under her eye. It had to be rebuilt. And it happened in May 2020 in COVID.
Yeah.
So she went from that accident into rehab for like 10 weeks. And then we got her back to her condo in Chicago. And so I'm with her taking care of her. And I'm like, Mom, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? This is your opportunity. What do you want? She said, and what's stopping you from making those choices? Because really the where do you want to go was like, basically like, which daughter do you want to live near? Because she couldn't like say, I want to go to France. You know, that was not part of the option.
Living in a villa in Italy.
Yeah, that was not part of the plan. But she looked at me and she said, I don't know what to do with all my stuff. She was frozen by her things. And I think for me, that's what I just want to feel free. I want to feel free. I don't want to feel bound to anything. If I want to go, mm-hmm. I just want to go. And that was a really good lesson for me of like, I don't have children, you know, that I have to take care of. I mean, kids require some stuff. I don't have any of that. I have very few needs. It's now letting go of the personal. And this could take me 10 years. I mean, this is not an easy process because.
To get rid of 50%, it's really impressive. Okay.
I haven't done it yet. I know
you're getting there. Remember when I used to be so on you about getting rid of your Audible subscription when you would have all these credits that would, I am eating my words, because yesterday I realized because I got a $14.99 charge again on my credit card from Amazon. Amazon is very tricky because Amazon doesn't tell you on your credit card what you bought. It just says Amazon. And if you share an Amazon account with someone, you might be like, I don't know, maybe Jay ordered like light bulbs. Like, I don't know what is happening here. Or like he needed tape for hockey sticks or like, it's just, who knows? So I kept meaning to investigate this. I realized that my children had somehow signed us up for Amazon Music Unlimited. So I was paying $14.99 a month for Amazon Music Unlimited because I'm sure Alexa said to them, that song is only available on Amazon Music Unlimited. Would you like to subscribe? And I'm sure Franklin was like, yes, we do. And then there we go.
I bet, you know, I bet it wasn't Franklin. It's that little, it's the tricky Heathcliff. He's well advanced beyond his age.
So then, and here's what they do too. They make it very difficult to cancel. You have to go onto the actual computer to do it. I've yet to figure out how you can do it on your phone. Apple, you can look in your subscriptions on your phone. But Amazon makes it really tricky. And I'm not often just like sitting on the computer looking at Amazon. When I'm on a computer, I'm like working.
Right.
So I go on there and I cancel Amazon Music. I'm feeling very good. And then I look into my other Amazon subscriptions. There were 5 subscriptions to like random television channels that I didn't even realize that we had that I'm sure my children, like I've taught them that they can't buy something on, if they want to watch something and it says you need to pay $2.99 for the episode. They know that they can't do that. But if it says subscribe, I don't think it like says the price and they just do it. So there were random networks that I'd never even heard of. It like there was Noggin and one called VIX. I don't even know what that is.
I've heard of Noggin.
Is that like X-rated that Jay subscribed to?
Yeah, I have not heard. I'm looking at VIX. Okay.
And then there was Paramount Plus, and then there was PBS Kids, which I'm not really opposed to subscribing to that, but still like we don't really need to. You can find stuff to watch. We have
and
enough
you didn't
things.
Do it. That's the thing too. That's the weirder part is whether you like it or not, it still feels a little out of control when
and we have Amazon Prime, Disney, and Netflix. I think that is plenty. There are plenty of things to watch.
And they can actually watch broadcast PBS.
Yes. Yeah. And then even like my Zoom account, like I was paying for Zoom and we use your Zoom for the podcast, Marjorie. I don't need to pay for Zoom too. Nope. And I use the station Zoom for work stuff.
Station like, meetings, yeah.
I don't need this. So I cleared out after this. It ended up being almost $100 a month in stuff that I just, because I had just didn't realize what was happening.
Yeah, this
and
is a great
I know
declutter.
That sounds probably like, what kind of spoiled brat are you that you didn't even notice? But the problem is, like, we have two jobs. We have three kids. We have money coming in and we've got money coming out. And it's right. very easy to lose control. And when it's just $5 here and, you know, and I don't go to Starbucks every day. I don't do those kinds of things. Like little purchase. I don't go into gas stations and buy snacks. I don't even buy gas. I plug right. my car in now. Like, I don't right. even do these things. It's these auto subscribe things that are freaking killing me that are all of a sudden I'm like, crap, what happened here?
Well, what I started doing, I guess it was in May, is I've been going through the credit cards and then writing yeah. down all of the yes. auto charges and seeing what they are. So I've been doing it. And then that's my job in August. I have all these jobs that I'm trying to do. In part, I'm just trying to get our life hyper organized.
Yes.
I'm going to go through and then make my husband sit down and say, do we need this? Do we need? And I keep going back like on Sirius radio. I'm like, do we really need this? Yes, I do.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you're using it and it's right. bringing you joy and it's something that you're using, like, I think that it's fine. I mean, everybody can prioritize right. what they spend their money on, but wasted money is just like,
well, five channels that you don't even know
that you don't even know what you have. But it is so true. I think this idea of just looking around and making some simple shifts in your home by just moving some things, or like moving pillows from one to another, and then just right. getting a little bit intentional about some of the small things. My friend Abby, Ben's wife, over the weekend said, she's like, I just want to declutter, but I don't even know where to start, because then when I start, I feel like I'm not going to be able to finish. And then I'm paralyzed. You know, you talk about that kind of being paralyzed by your stuff.
Yep.
And it made me think so much about just one small area and just yep. getting less particular about where it goes. It's the holding on to things because, oh, I'm going to sell this, or I'm going to give it to this right person or whatever. Just letting it go.
Go. That will be the most important thing, I think, from what we're talking about today, is this idea of letting go. Because for a long time, I mean, I had places when I lived in the Twin Cities, I had places where I would sell my clothes and it would do fairly well. And it made sense because then it was my justification for using that money to buy more clothes. Yeah. It was a nice circular economy I had going in my own closet. But it takes effort. It takes work. In that case, it was like you had to put them on hangers. They had to be dry cleaned. And I could take it and just dump them all. And then whatever didn't sell, my rule always was nothing comes back to the house. So whatever didn't sell, it would get donated. But even as I've gotten older, like with those big pieces of furniture, that was really hard. What you said is the hardest part. It's the let go. Because if you can't let it go, you won't ever do it. That's the problem. You won't. You'll keep looking at it and being like, oh, I can't do it yet. Instead of just letting it go, trust me, you won't even remember like what you had when you do that, like when you start really getting in the habit. But I did find, because I think this is really important. So I was just looking up, like, how does clutter affect your mental health? And to your friend Abby, it talks about you just need to get started. Like, that is the biggest, hardest problem for people. And they said, if you don't have the habit of doing it, this is all from WebMD. I don't vet WebMD, but I found it an interesting article. It said, if you don't get in the pattern of doing it, by the time that you're 50, it's really hard to do because you've become so attached to those things. So you have to develop the pattern yeah. of getting things in and out of your house, but it makes complete sense. That's totally what was trapping my mom. Is these are all the things that she had mm-hmm. hung on to for decades. And then at that point, you're like, well, I've held on to it this long, and it takes on this meaning that it doesn't really need to have. So I think to your friend, you're right. Just yeah. start in a small yeah. corner and let go. And then the other thing it says is that when you have too much stuff and you're surrounded by clutter, it forces your mind to wander. So it's very hard to focus, which doesn't that make complete sense? Like, if you're surrounded by clutter, yes. you can't focus on the job in front of you. What I really liked, where was it? It said, here it is. You'll like this. Neatness and generosity A more organized environment may make you more caring toward others. In one study, volunteers who filled out surveys in a neat room were more likely to say they wanted to donate to a charity compared with those who were questioned in a messy room.
No way.
Isn't it awesome?
That's fascinating. But that doesn't surprise me because you're right. It's like kind of counterintuitive, but it's that idea of like, if you have less, you are willing to give more, right?
Right. Because it goes back to exactly what we were talking about, which is when you're holding on to something, you may be holding on to because you have this sort of this innate sense of lack.
Yes.
Or fear that you won't have enough. So if you've already come to grips with this is what I have, I like my space, I'm good with it, there's no fear of lack and you're more generous. That's what I read into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with this. This is good. WebMD for the win, Marjorie Punnett.
I know.
Who knew?
But listen to this one. Memory issues. Some people who live in cluttered homes have poorer working memory, according to research. Your brain is wired to be able to keep track of only a few details at once for a short period, so it can get overloaded when there's too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually gets in the way of you being able to focus on what you need it to focus on. I just liked those two.
That's why Jay gets so stressed out, I think, when he walks in to rooms that are really, and I've talked about that so much before with him, but he really gets so stressed. And I think that's why, because he also, you know, he had concussions playing hockey, and I always worry about this, but I do think it impacts, like, it's just everything starts firing at once and it just unleashes this anxiety because your brain like doesn't know what to do with all of the stuff that's coming in.
So I think to how we started this conversation of if you want to freshen your space, shop in your own house first so that you're not bringing more in.
Right.
And you're using what you have. I just love that.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. It's good stuff, Marjorie Punnett. This is always enjoyable to get to chat with you. Thank you for taking the reins on a solo episode last week while I was cruising the Bahamas.
I did. It was called Follow Up and Follows. So I recommended a couple of people that I'm following right now that are making me happy and then followed up on a couple of emails as well. So it was just a quick, short, but it was fun to sort of pretend I was chatting to people out in the world since I was actually just talking to myself. But
I'm going to listen to that one. I'm going to. Very good. Okay. If you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We love our conversations with you and give us a review at Apple Podcasts, especially if it's a 5-star. Those are the best.
And if you've got any decluttering tips or any good stories, or particularly, I would love to hear stories like Elizabeth about the stroller where you gave something away and then the universe paid you back. Because I think that's true. I think it happens. I think our generosity or our ease in how we're living our lives comes back to us. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Best of the Nest. We are the podcast that brings you home.